Is that all right, sir?
Yes, if you could put it on the ground. I'm going to show you a few images just so you have it. Then probably we're just going to want to adjust the other one to stay on the report. We changed the next strategic change. We can go to the other one. You can see somebody pointing the other way. So we are kind of warming up to the topic, so I'm going to show you a few images and hopefully if those people whom we are waiting for, if they arrive, fine, if not, fine too. So one image here, and I was hoping to connect it to the bigger screen, but can you see it? It's not just nice and, a nice image of someone in pain, but it has other significance too. So you see how he is bending and holding. And I chose this image because he's actually pointing at the area that he crosses him along. He's actually putting on his hand on the area of the pain. So that's why the image was chosen. A lot of times in here, when we meditate together, you know, I ask you to put your hands on the sides of your head, and that has a lot of significance. You know, like for example, I know, you know, any of my students, if they were to work on someone's depression, to see how on this side depression is going. Even the one who's not very attentive and, you know, does not attend our practices and all that, working on this area of the brain really helps tremendously, more than the depression. So this is an interactive class, and I'm hoping that, you know, I could engage you a little bit more than your comfort zone, and hopefully you are comfortable with being uncomfortable. So that's what we're going to do. That's one image. So you would have some idea why I ask you to do things that I ask you to do, and you don't have to do anything I ask you. Trying to make sense of what we do. Here is an image of the brain. And behaviors that we process the pain. That's the area that the man was pointing at. You know, bent and holding. You see that? Okay.
Is there, right above the ear?
Well, you know, yeah, you know, I don't know if you and I have, in our travel sessions, have done this, but we draw beams that cross, working the
way.
So that actually goes through the head. If you are partially right, it's not really the ear, it's not really the temple, but there's space between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And slightly, probably around the ear level, and I have big ears, but it was maybe small. So approximately would be, you know.
Can you point there again?
So, you know, if we draw a line here, it's probably around here. But we usually draw the beam from the left side. That's not just something we're going to do today. We may, who knows. So. Anyway, so having some understanding of the, you know, the anatomy is nice. It gives us some anchor points when we are doing our imagery and all that. Again, the area in here, we handle a lot of things in that area. Okay. And I brought a brain here, a half brain. So that's really the area we are talking about. If it makes sense. So probably this way, maybe. Right at the base of the brain. Where we call the ancient brain, you've heard him say a lot of time, ancient brain, limbic brain. That's really the area we process it.
You should put
one
here.
We'll treat them as the bottom gland, you know, and they have exact relationship to the leg velocity. the two great like glands in the almost towards the back of the head. So fear brings about pain most of the time. Right? Yeah, we've seen people who do amazing, stunning, you know, jumping off of their 10-story building, and they break every bone, and as soon as they can walk, they jump again, you know. It's because those centers are damaged, or they wouldn't have done it. It's not bravery. It's not just, it's the way I am, or that's the way they are, but that section is damaged. So that fear section is damaged, you're liable to do anything. You know, put your hand into, you know, burning coil and keep it there and you see smoke is coming, you see all the way. So there's a lot going on in the in that section of the brain. More images. This may give you a more look at. Who asked about the year or something? Who was it?
Yeah.
Did you finish? Can I see it? Pointing. And also something that may interest you is this image here. Image is very abundant in the pyramid. Right. But I can show you the image. We actually have a one wonders. Yeah, this section here is really the fish brain, you know, continues with the spinal cord. So pain is really a real subject. We all deal with it, and probably I'm going to place it here. Here is what we have on the agenda. The topic is so vast, I usually don't look at notes. I just go for whatever I want to say, but I may branch out, and the 2 hours may go in a jiffy, and we may not have accomplished our task today. So I try to be focused and just go by the what I prepared for you today. If I ask a question, I usually wait for 5 to 7 seconds for anyone to raise their hand and answer the question. If not, they'll answer it. So if you don't know the answer, that's fine. We have a few meditations on planning. Hopefully, we can get into it. One of them is the touch and nurture. It's a meditation that those of you who have taken classes with me know we start with touching and feeling different parts of us. But the magic word for this meditation today is respect. Respect. Okay. It's the precursor. There are a few steps before one can train that one loves anything, anybody, trees, plants, okay. Respect is the foundation. If there's no respect, love cannot be demanded. Yeah. Then we have the saying of the day. I'm going to say that in a few seconds. Then I ask you questions. Then we have axioms of the day. So they're going to mention. No, we're going to find out what is pain. If you already have not experienced any pain, you're going to find that out. What is chronic pain? What is phantom pain? What is psychosomatic pain? What is the relationship between the brain, gut, and the pain? What is the relationship between time and pain? So, you know, it seems like a huge topic, but it's not. You know, I just represent it. What is the relationship between pain and chakras, for example? That's something we're going to attempt to make meaning out of it. Then we are going to have a meditation. It's called the meditation of pulling yourself together. Okay. And then we move to the subject of love. That you all think we know. Okay. And then we have the meditation of come to the seat of I am. So in fact, maybe you may collectively say I am or not. We'll see how the whole environment pulls itself together. Then we have the final meditation, which is the meditation of respect, understanding, affinity, and love. These are the steps. So if you use a shortcut, there is no love. You think you love, but you don't. You can't. It's impossible. Physical. All right. Now, motto of the day before I start on the first meditation is, if you do not start, if you do not start, I'm looking at everyone, you know, I'm not pointing at anyone. If you do not start doing what you believe in, you end up believing in what you do. A nicer chair would be better for a friend. We have pain. That chair, if you don't mind, it's very comfortable also.
This one?
No, the one.
Okay.
This is good. So we give you a few seconds till you make your final decision. And if it's not good, I'm going to bring you a very nice chair. So where's Michael? Michael King. You have no King? You divorced him?
Yes.
Oh,
he's in the museum.
Oh, very, very fine. Thank you. I'm very happy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So then I must assume you have no or a lot less pain. Okay, so may I repeat it? Okay, if you do not believe, and we could, you know, play with it, you know, if you do not do what you believe in, you end up doing, or you end up believing in what you're doing. Okay, so David, this is very true. You know, we know what's right, but we are not doing it. So, we start believing in what we believe. And Einstein, as well as, I guess, tens of thousands of sages have said, you keep doing the same thing, you get the same results, what you expect. Okay, so you've got to start doing what you believe. You must. Or nothing really works. You keep on, for example, coming here or using meditation and DW for you, you know, just lubricating the life so you could do the same thing. It doesn't work. You know what DW for you is, right? The space that you can have. Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's the really motto of the day. If you do not start doing what you believe in, you start believing in what you do. Maybe you already have started this book. Let's consider August 11th today. I don't know what time it is. 2:20 something. A holy day that you are actually in agreement to start doing what you believe. Okay. All right. The fan is, the big fan is working. The noise bothers anyone? No. You're good. Okay. So let's inhale together. Please inhale slowly. from the sound and they close up your own breath. Today, the Holy August 11th, we are going to make a few arguments. We are going to work at it. We are going to start doing it. One of the agreements I'm hoping for you, for us to collectively agree upon is that today is the day that you are going to love us. Today is the day that you actually are going to love your physical body. And it's all this perfection and imperfections and pain, whatever you have experienced. Today, the Holy August 11th, you are going to start loving your physical body. Just because you've been taking a good care of your physical body, it doesn't mean you love it. It could have been an act of fear, or maybe you've been in pain. But it doesn't mean you love it. So you're going to love your physical body free from being egotistical and narcissistic. You're going to love your body for the sake of loving your body. After all, it's the only God's temple you've been endowed, you have need for a lifetime. Even beginning to have the agreement, you are showing gratitude. Show gratitude. Agree. Start shifting the paradigm of touch, body touch. So touch wherever your hands are. It's a different kind of touch. The intention is not necessarily to feel your body, but love the areas that you're touching. That intention by itself changes the culture of the areas you're touching. Take action. If you sense denial or despair and you want to move really fast from the area, stop. Inhale and think of light, any light. So let's say, I'm touching my deep belly and I have a rush to get away from it. I stop by bringing light into it. It's time for me to actually love my deep belly. Just because you have agreement to love that part of you, you actually do have access to love. Invite light into your physical body, please. Red light does not age. Light does not wrinkle. As you touch and you invite light, please stop hoping. Is hope a bad thing? Not at all. It's very human. It's what makes us human. But it shows you don't know. Time to begin to know. Maybe if you are comfortable, bring your hands to the sides of your head. If that's not comfortable, place your hands wherever you're comfortable. So bringing the sides of the hands to the sides of your head. And you're communicating with the indigenous self. You are starting a dialogue, a relationship. I want you to have conversation with the memories of the area. You're having a dialogue. A conversation with the memory of the alien. You're thinking also like you are making choices right now to harmonize with the universe within. A reflection of the macro. Inhaling slowly, and as you're touching, you're showing gratitude. Show gratitude. You're communicating. Communication is art. Be an artist. If you're not listening to the messages that are being projected, the spirit, the intelligence of the body part may give you some clues, like pain. As you touch, and you may continue touching, maybe your ears, your sinuses and your inhaling, pulling healing light, and as you exhale, you pour healing light. You're doing hands-on healing, inviting light, the opposite of darkness. Light is health and wealth and abundance, and darkness is the opposite. Let it be light. Be honest with you. Keep on touching your chest. Feel the chest. Then I direct you to touching any area. It's up to you. You may want to maintain your hands on the sides of your head, or move down, touch the area below clavicle bones, the space above the breast and the clavicle bone. Is it tender? Be honest as you move down, touching the sternum. Your belly. Touch and feel. Maybe begin a little bit. Tender? Are you self-conscious? Too fat, too skinny? As you touch, please take your time. It's your time. Remember, the idea is to communicate. You may have visuals as you touch. Be open to have visuals. Memories may surface as you touch. You may even hear sounds, music, notes as you touch. You may even have different tastes. Attempt maybe to touch your back if you can, if you're comfortable, if you can reach your back. Feel your back. Acknowledge your body parts. It's a different kind of communication today. It's a new relationship with other beings. When you touch your back, it's not just your back. It's a being. Be with the cultures, different cultures. Every part of you has a different culture. Get to know the indigenous self of your body. with respect. Remember, the magic word is respect. As you touch, maybe silently even say, I respect and mean it. Do you hear me? Do you respect for your impression? Respect is the mantra. It's just like going to a tribe, trying to find out their customs. You have to respect their way of life, the way they communicate. Without respect, there can be no love. So we wear clothing. We do that for different reasons: protection, warmth, boundaries, and of course communication. Now I want you to see yourself in your favorite part of the nature. No one is around. No one is around. And you make it. No one is around. Remember this primal relationship. You are present in the natural world. Naturally. You are being witness with the nature as you witness the nature. Witness with respect. Touch. It's a humbling experience. The living beings in the nature do not judge. They don't judge if you are beautiful or not beautiful to the people. They are witnessing you. The human body is beautiful. Your human body is beautiful. Respect is the word. Respect. Expanding the chest, giving your precious heart more room. And let's respectfully open our eyes and witness each other. I see. Hello. How are you doing? Question. Are you up to it?
Yeah.
Oral exam? Oh, really? Okay. In what setting, dividing and multiplying is all the same. Yeah, one hand up. Dividing and multiplying is the same. Number one, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say number one? Why did you say number one?
I'm thinking
because the answer number one says all cells are dividing, and as they are dividing, they are multiplying. So dividing and multiplying is all the same. So when we look at the condition with the intention to divide, we all multiply. Just stay with that. Very, very important. Then you are breaking pain into two. You are dividing. And then triple. When you analyze, it's the same thing. As soon as you analyze, it multiplies. That's why analyzing never works. It's all very interesting. Very interesting. Part of human nature, the analyze. But if you want to resolve something, stop analyzing. You're not going to get anywhere. It's just very, very interesting. You may learn a lot of things. But I repeat something that I repeat all the time, is that the, and it's not in the notes, just came, we are not here to learn. It's the biggest fallacy. We are not, as human beings, are here to learn. We are here to use learning as a ritual to remember. So in the process of analyzing, you may learn a lot, and so on. That's not your purpose, your mission in life. That's not your path. Neither one of them. No one's path. Just to learn. So I'm 99 and I'm learning, and then I die. And then what? You know? I have to remember. I have to bring in remembrance into my everyday activities. And once I bring that awareness into anybody, they start to remember too. Very important. Very important. We are not here to learn. We are here to use learning as a ritual to remember. High five? All right. Thank you. Okay. So when we divide, we multiply, right? Do you agree? Thank you. Do you agree? Thank you. Okay. So, I have three things for the glossary department. One is, what is a disease? From Chappell's point of view, you may or may not agree with it. Basically, I'm saying disease is a lie you told you. Let's stay with this, I'll explain a little bit. Disease and pain, chronic pain is a disease. Chronic pain is a disease. So disease is a lie you told you. And then before that. But whatever you say is going to manifest. It doesn't matter if you're aware, unaware, conscious, unconscious. It doesn't matter, you know, how evolved you are, how much you've been meditating, or not at all. Today might have been the first meditation. It doesn't matter. You know, whatever you say is going to happen. But here is the catch. It may not happen in this lifetime. It may happen 10 lifetimes from now, and you may say, karma, and I say, time out. It's something you wanted 10 lifetimes. It's manifesting now. What say you? You said, you asked. It's happening. So the example is that I'm so tired of this job. I wish I could catch a cold and just rest at home, and you forget about it. You're going to catch a cold. You're going to stay home. You're going to rest. We think and we forget. We think and we forget. So anytime I think, I just project a seed of consciousness in the future. And then I go about doing my stuff. But that seed starts to swell and sprout and turn into a landmark, and you are going to claim. You're going to claim. If it's good, you say, wonderful, I'm lucky. You know, and if it's not good, so look at my luck. Look at that. My gosh, you know, why me? And you ask for it. sorry, I don't mean to be cruel, but you ask for it. You know, how do you, some people actually ask for it, they actually position themselves. Right? So one of the other words that I'm going to give a short definition to is position. So wherever you position yourself in life, you position yourself in this room, then that's what you're breathing. You have no other choice. You're breathing the hidden frequencies here, you're living, you're behaving, you're digesting, you know, you're processing. You have no other choice. So basically when I say, I want something, I'm positioning. Like, respond to this configuration. That's what's going to happen. Respond to this configuration, yes, whatever it is, in whatever shape and form it is. Respond to this configuration, and information comes. So that's position. Wherever you position yourself, you breathe, you live, you behave the frequencies of the field that you're in. There are no exceptions. And refinement. Refinement is a substitute or is the word for enlightenment. In Shafa, we don't believe in enlightenment. We don't think anybody has ever been enlightened. We don't think anybody is ever going to be enlightened. Enlightenment happens when you leave the physical body. You may have glimpses of that. So we say refinement. It's very early. It's a constant process. It never ends till the last breath. And then we graduate into enlightenment. All right. Now, the axioms for the class of August 11th. Axioms of the day. I mentioned a few, but they weren't part of here. But anyway, anybody wants to take a short break? The bathroom break. You're good? Axiom 1 for today and for every day is that there is a Supreme Consciousness. I can't simply not believe in that, not know that. I know that there is a Supreme Consciousness. Axiom number 2 for today. The universe is not God. Energy is not God. God creates the universe. God creates the universe. So we are being very emphatic in saying it next year so we can move on. God is kind, always merciful, and the universe is physical and abides by the laws of cause and effect. There is no grand scheme to punish you or to reward you. There is none of that. It all depends on how you position yourself. Everything is here. So cause and effect translates into karma. So karma is not the law of punishment. Okay. Are we good? Am I too fast with the axioms? Okay. I have the axiom of the first agreement, and for those of you who haven't heard, I'm not expecting you to accept, leave, comply. But it's something that I came to. And the information was given in 2007 to our first class. It's called the axiom of the first axiom, which means, you know, if we all are part of God, it's like, with all due respect to God and us here, it's like I'm a part of the wall. Maybe that wall, maybe this wall. But I don't know I'm part of the wall. I am. You are too. So bored. I know everything. I don't need to move. I don't need to look. I am. So, very bored. So we all collectively, all of us, the ones that we have encountered through lifetimes, after lifetimes, maybe millions of reincarnations, the ones that you are going to meet in your future reincarnations, the ones that you have not met in millions of reincarnations, and you're not going to meet in the future reincarnation. we all collectively came to an agreement. The agreement was, stop knowing everything. Just collectively agree and stop knowing everything. And that agreement weighed something. And it made us heavy. So we could defend. So we technically defended from knowing and forgetting. Where we were, we knew everything there was to know. But where we are here, we can know anything we want to know. But it's impossible to know everything. It just doesn't work with the human consciousness. But we do have access to anything we want to know. I don't know how many of you have seen the violent movie Matrix. You know, it's like, do you know how to operate a helicopter? No, let me download, please. Okay, you know, then you press and do things and you push and you pull and you're operating perfectly. That's how easy it is actually for us to understand. If you know where you are. If you are below being, then you have to come here to be able to touch and download, download, have the information, download, you know. Below that is a struggle. You know. And with the agreement, lifetime after lifetime, with the incarnations, you became heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And that's our struggle, coming to being. It feels like a dwindling spiral, slippery, greasy, you know, all the time. We struggle to come up and just slide back, you know. But that's the thing. So, The agreement allowed us to come into being, then start to do. And once we do, then we start to have. And as soon as we have, we actually have material that's what we thought. We are engaging in manifestation, materialization. So that's the agreement, the axiom of the first agreement. So, no pain, no gain is a fallacy. It's very religious. That's not the reason we came here. Judging or observing, words are funny. Observing the previous axiom that God is kind, always kind, always merciful. How come no pain, no gain? It's a choice. As Shafa healers, and I assume you know you all have an eye on being healers yourself, at least for yourself, your immediate family members. A Shafa healer does not try to find what is wrong. He does not try to find what is wrong. He does not die. He brings light into the area. We create healing in the area. We remove the memories of the pain of the area. Okay, I guess I'm going to skip a few of the axioms of the day and move to more earthly axioms. The universe has no tolerance for failure. The universe is not necessarily kind, it's just cause and effect. And it has no tolerance whatsoever for pain, for chronic pain. The universe considers chronic pain as failure. Funny, but that's the way it is. Okay. So, make a mental note, please, that karma, cause and effect can be transcended. Karma, cause and effect can be transcended. Does it make sense? So, you know, if I'm on this plane of reality and I've done something, cause and effect, it doesn't mean it's good or bad. You know, karma, the cuckoo monster, comes to get me. If I'm not here, it keeps on like bunny, you know, keep on going. You know, can't get me. I've transcended already. Okay. Pain can be physical and emotional, of course we know that, right? So no pain, no gain is a fallacy, it's blasphemous. Love source wants you to have gains free from pain. When you have a thought, conscious or subconscious, you become a cause. Is that right? Then you have a thought. You become a cause. Is that right? And then you forget, then the thought is the cause and you are the... So that's something you were talking about. Okay. Here is something you may want to think for a few seconds. It's dangerous to exert control over something to change your mind about. Very dangerous. It is dangerous to exert control over something to change your mind about. I read it again. It is dangerous to exert control over something to change your mind about. Any yes?
Can you give an example of that?
I was moving towards it. But how about you? Can you give an example? Anybody? So the topic is love and respect and pain. Can you give me a painful example?
So if you're having pain and you focus on it more and more, then it just grows. And you're trying to get rid of it, but oh, there it is, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
But how does you exert control over the pain so you don't feel it?
Oh.
Is that a good thing? I'm saying it's dangerous. Why am I saying it's dangerous? Thank you. So the pain, like termite, is doing the damage. You know, you're not being high and mighty and strong, you know, so you have control over the pain. You're using hypnosis. Feel your hand, you know, bare finger in the icy water so you don't feel the pain. It's not even. It's dangerous. The damage is being done. Does that make sense? So it is a fad, it's the longest fad of seeing people trying to exert control over pain. Well, exert, you know, will to heal. Exert will to heal. Once you treat, the pain is going to go. You know, there was no such thing as pain management. It's a recent phenomenon. Why would you manage pain? You heal the cause, the reason. Doesn't it make sense? So I want us to kind of come off of high horses of exerting power, you know, out of the mind, or the pain, or whatever disharmony that we are facing. Because the problem continues. Like termite. Okay? Alright. Consciousness, very important. Consciousness, I say it's very important about anything. But consciousness depends on removal of memories of physical pain. It has to be removed. How do we do it? Let's use it. Okay. So we actually remove the circuits, the memories, in the indigenous cells of the areas. As they are, as we have them around, as we bring them up to the surface, to set them free, not to analyze, not to divide, because as we divide, we are multiplied, right? Okay. So unconscious, in relationship to pain, anyone can answer me. Unconsciousness is part of what? We're talking about pain. Consciousness is part of pain. It's, in fact, it's a symptom of pain. Consciousness is also a symptom of pain. So at the moment of pain, physical or emotional, all the senses, perceptions are in working order. They are recording. And the sum total of all recording comes to an oasis that may be well hidden and camouflaged. If this is not released, these act like triggers, you know, sometimes triggers, you know, just does this and it goes to dormant. And you don't know what happens. You go back to the pain setting of having pain, physical emotion. dealing with the same thing you've been dealing for the past 10, 20, 30, 40 years. The memories, the cellular memories must be repeated. So someone may be very happy, there is no problem, finances are good, everything is good. They still have it. So if you remove the physical manifestation of pain, the person becomes happier, can do more. If the writer then writes more books, if he heals then he heals more people. You know, you do a sculpture, then you flourish with sculptures. If you're a poet, poetry just pours out of you. It's physical. It's a physical universe. Everything about it is physical. Okay? And you can do physical things about it. That's the strong suit. Okay. If you do not agree to relieve your chronic pain, pain becomes a way of life that you can die for. You must agree to it. Okay, what is pain? How does one describe pain? Please stay with me. It's very important. We are dealing with you. Okay. What is pain? I'm sorry?
Alive and overcome.
That's chronic pain.
Oh.
It could also be true, though. Pain. But pain is actually very important. It's a signal. If you don't have pain, you know, our organs may fail and we don't even know. So pain is important. Pain is not necessarily bad, you know. Chronic pain is disease. It's bad. But what is pain? It's a signal, isn't it? It's a coded signal that goes to the brain. In the brain, it gets decoded and gets relayed, then we feel the pain. So it's a coded signal. Okay. So if we stop dealing with that coded signal, with the pain, if you say, oh, you know, my threshold for pain is really great, and you stop healing it, what happens? Chronic pain, the disease, right? Okay. But at some point, if you stop dealing with it and it becomes chronic, what does the brain do? Anybody? Then they have circuits in the relationship. There's a pattern. At some point, the knee is going to heal. But the brain is acting on the circuitry. As soon as we activate, some switches get activated. You feel there is pain. There is no pain. But the brain thinks there is pain. So the ratio between our brain and the spinal column, or the fish brain, you know, as far as the self, is like 2% the fish brain, close to 50% the actual brain. We, more than any other species, can have chronic pain. Because the circuits are not here. Sometimes the brain doesn't even send signals to the knee for me to think, oh, is it not here? Why do I have pain? It doesn't send it anymore. It just processes off here. Because it's psychosomatic pain. The circuits are there. Unless you clear them, they're always going to do the same. The brain is going to do such a huge mass in comparison to other species. It's amazing. The ratio is just amazing. The rat's ratio is 45 to 35. You know, 45 brain, 35 the spinal column and all the nerves. So the rat feels pain. The rat heals. The rat doesn't think pain. Learns not to go places, but doesn't think pain. The rat does not create pain. We do. Such a big mass here. So much circuits are involved there. Physical, emotional, we're talking about both, right? So I'm bringing your attention to the fact that having a big brain is not a good thing. Okay. So in Shapa we can actually deal with that. We can release. And the brain is ready for it, by the way. It's not a humongous task. when a part of the brain is damaged, for example, it creates a form of a net and covers that area and creates a wire that goes to other ones. It doesn't necessarily heal that part of the brain. So if you keep on projecting healing light into that part of the brain, it heals. Those cicatrices are gone. You know, the huge mass here that, you know, if you scoop some of it, nothing is going to happen. It's because of this. The brain doesn't know how to heal itself. The brain knows how to send signals to my cut fingers to heal it. And the indigenous cells of the finger know how to heal it. But the brain doesn't know how to heal itself. It just has a defense mechanism, rasps, puts it in the corner, and creates a distraction, goes to some other part of the brain, does the same thing. Okay. Here is another question for you. I have a pain here, and doesn't matter how much shafa I do, doesn't matter how much medication I take, the pain is there. So I go to the physician, to the doctors, and say, cut the nerve. Cut the darn nerve. I'm done with it. Well, you may get numb and things may happen. Cut the nerve. So the doctor cut the nerve. And I still have the pain. Now what? Why do I feel the pain? There is no nerve going on. Why do I have the pain, Warren? The memory of the pain? But there is no signal.
When something is done by cutting the nerve, it affects other systems that are would be functioning.
Okay. Can you be more clear on that?
I'm just thinking of, for instance, when animals are taken out of the wilderness, the rest of the animals and the wilderness are affected. You know, it's kind of like
symbolic. You're kind of there. Okay.
Well, the cells have the memory and they actually recruit other cells.
Recruit is the word. They actually, usually in a mirror fashion. The cut nerve sears the painful area here, recruit the cells in here. And from here, the signal for the operator, I feel the pain. It's very, very interesting. Western medicine has no idea about it.
There's also called phantom pain and
MPF. Thank you. That's actually in the north. Yes, exactly.
Because the circuits haven't been healed, is that
right? Well, the circuits, you know, what it says is twofold, but yes, the circuits are dead. The pain is dead. You know, like it works in the same manner, you know, if someone comes to me and the spleen is removed, I work with the memory of the spleen. I do the same thing. For me, it doesn't matter if the spleen is there or not. And for these cells that recruit, these cells, they send a message of the pain, usually in a mirror fashion. Very intelligent tribes we have here, indigenous people, you know. They enlist, they recruit, they do things.
And that's also a different part of the healing.
And also during the healing, if the healer, especially if the healer is a novice, powerful but novice, you know, they remove the pain. Why is the pain? Oh, it's here. So you get rid of it. Oh, it's here. It actually travels. I don't know if any one of you have witnessed that. It just travels. He's trying to catch and it goes here. I don't know. It's like having three cups. Under which cup is it? I'm sorry?
It happens in acupuncture treatment and it starts actually the part, let's say you have a pain in the neck, or shoulder on this side. This side gets a relief for it for 24 hours and all of a sudden this side didn't have any pain or didn't
pay for it. Exactly. So basically pain becomes an entity and it starts to have settlement in here.
Yeah.
No. And if you want to remove the settlers, they just flee to our area. They start to be settlement there. It's very, very interesting. But it's true. It also can be used very positively. You know, when you know, you're working on this shoulder, put the other hand on the shoulder too. So there is no route to go but to, you know, pain heaven. You know, they go. All right. All right. Association. Pain by association. You know, people have different nice metaphors. And, I'm not sure it's nice, but it's like even listening to people is painful. So people is associated with pain. I see people and I have pain. I want to be just go to the nature. You know? Don't want to see anybody. Shh, doesn't feel comfortable. I get this funny pain around. Let me say it. When I see the pain by association is very true. You know. So it's like there are armies, there must be war. That kind of thing. Pain by association. A patient comes, a healer comes to you. And you start to sympathize. You associate with the patient. You feel the pain. You know, there's a cancer tumor, I'm working, and I start to sympathize, I associate, and I start to sympathize, and then the pain comes all the way up here. I may not get cancer, but definitely get pain. So a lot of the associations, the trigger for association is fear. The trigger for association is fear. So if someone is having a bad migraine headache, they may get a headache. You fear. Thank God I don't have that fear. And it comes. Okay. So pain is a lie. We talked about that. We talked about dividing and multiplying. We talked about chronic pain, that is failure. Now, there is a blow, a huge blow to my head. I'm killed. Or there is a blow to my knee. And the pain is excruciating. Continue. It's chronic pain. Over time, it kills me. The pain is killing me too. Over time, it's killing you. You're constantly in resonance with cancer survivors inside. So the only difference is time. But the pain kills you, but the pain kills me here. Okay, and then we can use the metaphors, and it kind of works very in a very similar way, like a fear. I could talk about fear. Okay. So I don't know if I said it, but pain in Latin means punishment. So a lot of people who are mentally disturbed and cut themselves, you know, they punish themselves so they feel alive. You know, there's signals of pain. You know, they have to deal with something that's real. Talk about cellular memories, okay. Is numbness pain? Anybody? Is numbness pain? You know, the numbness, they could not recruit the cell. You know, there's a drug, I think it's FOX, Flofox. It's for cancer of the infections, the intestines and all that. Every single person that gets it gets every single person. So, you know, if they burn their fingers, they don't know. But there is pain. And it gets recruited. So numbness is pain. Then I crushed fiber separate, three of them in the lumbar part, and so up here and numerous others, there was a lot of numbness around. And there was a lot of electricity kind of movement going here and there. But, you know, I prefer the numbness. I prefer it being numb. But the termites was doing the damage. So numbness can be considered breast pain too. Okay. All right. I also mentioned that chronic pain is like a fractal. Fractal is an expression in physics. It's a geometric shape like a cloud that keeps on going. And if I do that, it keeps on going this way. I do that, and it keeps on going up. Keeps on going down. If I divide it, they keep on going. And if I divide them, they keep on going. So a lot of times, the chronic pain is just like that. And as soon as you try to deal with it and do something, you know, that the mind does, you actually increase it. If you want to manage the pain, you're increasing it. I mentioned about no pain, no gain, that it is a fallacy. Is pain and pleasure the same? A lot of people, when they have sex, they actually have pain. And they think that everyone must be done like that. And then by association, whenever they have pain, they think they have sex. Sounds funny, but it's true. So masochists, a lot of them actually do that. You know, they hurt themselves. It's kind of sexual. Fascinating what the human mind does, huh? Okay.
So, the question was...
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a question, really. It was something that I said that, you know, the sexuality and pain can be mistaken. So can pain be a friend, a companion? Yes. Somebody's laughing. Why? You actually see it, don't you? It's very obvious. You know, we see people, you know, pain is their companion. Mm-hmm. It's actually, there is a triangle. The triangle of pain, the patient, and the physician. When the pain is gone, the triangle collapses. Or actually, if there's no doctor, the pain will collapse. The pain may actually collapse. Then you can go to your companion, see another companion who takes care of you, you know. I'm smiling, but it's not really a fun subject. It's a painful subject, but it's so true, you know, how we play with everything. So masterfully, you know. And we bring in sentences like no pain, no gain, like you're justified, you're companion. You actually are justified to have your companion, but you're companion. You know, time after time, I think it's becoming like 20 years that I'm doing this. People come with horrendous pain on the scale of 1 to 10, it's 15. I remove the pain, they get very mad at me. They really are angry. It's been years I haven't removed anybody's pain totally. I always give some for them to process. Because all of a sudden it's like, what now? They actually tell me. It's no longer, you know, some of my case studies, they actually tell me. They actually tell me. They don't want their whole thing to go. And then you ask them if the pain is gone, they play a trick on you. You know, they say different things. They try to distract you. Nobody can distract me in that room. So pain is the companion. Pain is you. Okay, so we talked about phantom pain. We talked about numbness pain. And the fact that unconsciousness is part of the pain. Think about that for a few seconds. Unconsciousness is part of pain. In fact, it's one of its symptoms. You know, you see people, it's like, can I open the window for you? Why? Gas. What gas? There's a leak. He's dying. Really? They don't understand the gas. They're so in their pain that all their awarenesses are numb. The awareness is gone. So unconsciousness, unawareness is part of pain. You see someone like that? There's pain. Rest assured, there's pain. Okay. So accumulated physical pain and loss bring about a reduction of consciousness. Maybe you want to make a note of that. Okay. All right. And then I also said that consciousness depends on removal of memories of physical pain. Consciousness depends on removing physical pain. So I'm going to a therapist, and I keep on talking about what my boyfriend, girlfriend, my wife, my husband has done. They're not dealing with the pain. They have to deal with the physical memory of the pain. Okay. There's a title, Brain, Guts, and Pain. How is that related? Yes, brain, gut, and the pain. Brain, gut, and pain. And how do you do that today? You feel it, you feel it? You feel it in your gut. But, you know, the same mechanism that goes up here goes down here. So the same circuitry exists, except that they have not evolved to self-consciousness, the brain cells in here. And I'm told we have more brain cells in here than up here. Is that something? What is your response?
There's actually a paper up.
That there is paper.
They actually have proof.
They have proof.
That mechanism.
Okay. Time and pain. What do you say about time and pain?
Time and pain?
Yeah.
Well, in what sense?
So, time heals the pain?
Not necessarily.
Thank you. Do you agree with her? Not with me, but do you agree with her? Yeah. In fact, time is not a great healer. It makes things worse. Makes things a lot worse. Especially with the emotional. It always gets worse. You may will it to not feel, but it's there. There are triggers. You'd be very, very disappointed that once the trigger comes, after all the work I've done, I've been coming to you for a year, so tell me. You know,
yeah. So the expression is a lie then, time heals all pain, time heals all pain, is that expression?
It's like no
expression?
Pain. Yeah. It's like no pain, no gain.
Yeah.
We have a lot of expressions.
Yeah.
No pain, no gain is a fallacy, and time heals, it doesn't, it makes things worse. Unless you do something about it. Then, okay, 10 years ago you had pain, now you do it, but you've done something about it. Okay? So, time is not the great healer. Now, pain is hypnotic. That's the last subject before I ask you a question. Pain is hypnotic. What do I mean? Anybody? Pain is hypnotic? It just activates circuits and your behavior. If at the time that you have, let's say, excruciating pain and one of your loved ones is present, anytime you see them, you go into that redness or banner. You actually behave like you do have pain, and you don't. And as you start to become more aware, you actually catch yourself. Why am I behaving? Why, as soon as I see it, I say, or I make face like, I have pain. It's like, I don't have pain. Why am I doing that? It's hypnotic. Pain is hypnotic. So any moment of the day or night that you have pain, all your senses are working to create a collective of hypnotic connection. You know? That's why in Shafa, hypnosis is a no-no. really empathic, you say, no, no. Very, very hypnotic. Hypnosis is not good. Hypnosis, you will, for you not to feel the pain. You didn't feel, not feel the pain. So, what do we do to release, you know, the, you're not coming to me, you're not taking shiatsu and all that. How do you begin to let go of these hypnotic commands? You know, talk is cheap. What do we do? I mean, you could start it right now. You can start it right now. Is that?
Release the
bungee cord is good, but they don't know what you mean. But we'll talk about it later. So, what do we do? Okay. Thank you. But that's not what I'm asking. So, it's hypnotic commands. I'm saying hypnotic commands. You're hot and you start to sweat. You're cold and you start to shiver. It's like that. You have no choices. It's like music, you know. First music in the morning. Very hypnotic, the behavior. I would never listen to music in the morning. Not even the music that I like. Because, you know, I consider myself, you know, somewhat evolved. It still is hypnotic. I still am affected. For the rest of the day, the rhymes keep on playing. So what do I need? You have two hands. You know, what can we do about this hypnotic command? Sorry, I look at it and I said, Leslie.
Oh, you're asking?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were...
Yes, that's what I did.
Why do you want to stop thinking about it? Take a breath, create a new space.
That's
opposite to what's happening.
Okay. But how do we realize this is not
correct? How do you realize
it? We know there is this hypnotic command. How do we realize it? Do something about it. Whatever you want to do. You know, you better see there is a problem before you do something about it. If you don't see the problem, what is it that you're doing? Yes?
Well, we can start observing our thoughts, watching our thoughts.
That's good, going
also,
the right direction, yes?
And also watching what we say. Like where we catch our catchphrases.
That's the answer. You catch your catchphrase. There are so many hypnotic commands in how you want to live. Catch your catchphrases. Start now. And it's very difficult for you to catch your catchphrases. You may catch a few, because that's kind of part of your identity. Ask your friend to tell you your catchphrases. Lots of hypnotic commands. You won't believe. How much hypnotic commands are in your catchphrases? Like when I say, hello, Raiden, well, that's my catchphrase. You won't believe how much of our behavior is just hypnotic. It's really difficult to come to that fact, to understand it. You know, it's beneath us. But it is. So what do? We start catching our catchphrases. We start writing the catchphrases. We ask people to write our catchphrases for us. And while you're writing your catchphrases, see, who's down with them? What is my father? Was it a mismatch? You know, he kind of, he sounds common. You know, he kind of had an opening to see where you're going. Very simple exercise, very powerful. Okay? Now, I'm going to end this painful topic by by saying a few metaphors here that you may relate at some point. And these words are hypnotic. If you said it, you self-hypnotize yourself. Okay? Okay, let's have fun. Flickering, quivering, pulsating, throbbing, beating, pounding, jumping, flashing, shooting, pricking, boring, drilling, stabbing, sharp, cutting, lacerating, pinching, pressing, cramping, crushing, pulling, wrenching, hot, burning pain, tingling, itching. So, itching and pain. What kind of synonyms? Itching, paining, dull, sore, aching, heavy, tender, rasping, splitting, hurt. exhausting, sickening, suffocating, fearful, frightful, terrifying, punishing, grueling, cruel, vicious, killing, wrenched, blinding, annoying, troublesome, miserable, intense, unbearable, spreading, radiating, penetrating, piercing, tight, numb, squeezing, tearing, cool, cold, freezing, nagging, nauseating, agonizing, dreadful, torture. Have you said any one of these words? By association. Pain by association. Okay, so you answered the question, how do we recognize the hypnotic command? And probably the last subject is pain and chakras. As soon as you have pain, what happens? What chakra is affected?
All of them are. A lot of them are. Very true.
But which one is affected first? The solar plexus, you're saying? Chakra?
The navel center.
Navel center? Okay.
Eight.
The base is number two. That's my next question. That's my next question. That's what's number two. Thank you. Anytime you have any kind of pain, physical, emotional, that's the first one. It's operating pretty nicely and then drops like an elephant trunk. Trying to work. It's like a bicycle, you hit it against the curb. It's all work. It's not working. And of course it affects the thymus, then your immune system drops. It affects the heart. Your heart is not doing good. You go to the physician. My heart is doing this, they're giving medicine. It's all because you had a pain, maybe you're thinking. The heart chakra is the very first one that gets affected. And then, yeah, go ahead.
That's because you feel maybe so fear.
Is that you mean the reason why it affects the heart chakra first?
Yeah.
No? It's not the main issue.
Example,
anything and everything that comes to your whole from you, and you're going to go through it, then we go to the heart and to meditation. That is the topic really last year. Anything and everything that comes into the whole from you, regardless of what it is, pain, gain, you have to go through it. You know, the grand central station, everything comes here and then gets distributed. The thoughts that you're having, before you're able to process, have to go through here. Yes? Are we good? All right. So we are taking a break from this painful subject, and we are moving to heart and love. And if you want to take a short break, and again, do you want to take a bathroom break? Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Lots of information, though.
Yeah.
And it feels like you know what pain is, but you know, one really doesn't. One acts hypnotically. It feels like you know what pain is, but you don't, you know, if you don't have the basic information.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That was so much information. It was wonderful.
Thank you. And you get to listen to it again, yeah, or watch it again. Because sometimes one sentence highlights and stuff.
Ready to keep up?
Yeah.
I know for a while, it's not bad. I do not after that.
Thank you.
Anytime, anywhere there is numbness, there is pain. It can be seen as, except that you don't feel it. And it's doing the termite work.
Okay.
Right. So it's always true. Okay. Any other questions? It's not the purpose though. Learning is not the purpose, that's what I'm saying. It's of course an inherited part of human beings. That's what we do, we learn. But the learning must be applied. I'm not saying don't learn. It must be applied towards remembering.
Okay.
That's the point. We are here to remember. As much as you remember, and the more you remember, you reach a point that you actually do remember. Then you know you're part of the wall. Prior to that, you didn't. You remember the metaphor I used with the wall? Your atoms and molecules of the wall, but we don't know. So going through the reincarnation, we come into knowing I am. You know you're part of the world. So basically, you remember who you are. Does it make sense? So I'm not asking you not to learn. It's impossible. You learn. But the whole idea is to use learning as a ritual to remember. That's what it is. Okay, it's like you go to the university and learn a profession, you become a physician, you know, you learn a lot. You know, then you put it into use. It's the same thing. Alright, the computer somehow didn't work, thankfully. Or we would have more computers here. You probably have seen this tiny image in some of the emails we send you. It's a picture of a woman, yeah, a female figure, and the heart, and so on and so forth. So it kind of sets us, puts us in a mood for love. How about that? Okay. So I guess here we have an axiom that I mentioned earlier, that, you know, in answering to somebody's question, that any and all frequencies, regardless of what they are, they have to go through the physical. They have to. It's just the way we are designed, and that's what led us to karma. Right? So they go through the physical heart, and they make an impression. So pain or gain, regardless, makes an impression here. The same circuitries that are up here, the same circuits are down here. So once they get activated, we actually get the pain, the emotional pain. All right. Okay, let's just maybe, if you like, you don't have to, let's breathe together and inhale slowly, please. Start paying attention to the sound. It's an echo of your own breath. And think of your heart too. Think of your physical heart. Think that all frequencies, even the ones that come fresh from the oven of creation, they have to go through the physical heart too. What do I mean by saying the ones, even the ones that come fresh from the oven of creation? I'm referring to your cord connection. The silver white cord. From the heart point, the point about 3.5 to 4 inches below your navel, you are connected by means of a cord made of light, silver white. Looks like an umbilical cord, and one of our axioms of the day is that there is actually such a cord that can be seen. Accomplished clairvoyants have been seeing the cord, so we postulate there is one, even though we don't see, we don't hear. Some people actually can hear a vibration of the cord of connection, that may resemble like the standing under a high voltage cable. There's a buzz. The best time to observe the cord, however, is in the evenings or at night. At night, for example, I can tell how many people are in a building by the number of the silver white cords that go up through the roof. If the cords are entangled, people are intimate. And if the cords are rooms apart, people are in different rooms. Even the flow of healing that comes through the cord tailor-made, special edition, just for you. Just for you. They have to go through the physical heart too. They have to go through a physical heart, through a process of orientation and initiation to acquire your heavenly barcode, your energy signature and impression, to be glazed with your healing light and love. That's how the universe knows it's you. That's how the universe knows it's you. Any action, any deed is methodically recorded. That's how the laws of karma works. The laws of cause and effect. That also can be transcended. In our first meditation, we started to touch and feel and pay respect to the indigenous parts of ourselves, physical self. With respect, especially the parts that have been going through rough times, through pain, and even in the past, maybe chronic pain. So inhaling slowly, think of your heart. Think of the seat of I am. I am. I am. Focus on the A of the am. That is very similar to the A of Om. I am, she says. And if you want to say, that's perfect. I am. The emphasis on the A of the am. Am. A distinct pause, a distinct space, a distinct distance between I and am. I am, she says. I am. I am a mighty cosmic power, she says, in action in me now. I am a mighty cosmic power in radiance in me now. I am a mighty cosmic power. To its radiance I bow. I am. And I want your heart to beat like boom, boom. I am. Boom, 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 I am. So I am, I am, I am is exactly. I am. It's like you're standing tall on the peak of Mount Universe and saying, I am. I am free from seeking any approval. You're announcing, I am. You say it so much silently or out loud by yourself or in a group that you're free from any doubt whatsoever to know who you are. Then you say, I am. You're saying, I am a partner of creation. I am a creator, a co-creator. I am, you say. Welcome to the seat of I am presence And the reverberation of Am reaches your heart, reaches your brain, goes down to the right, all around. The reverberation that I indeed am a partner of creation touches you, your core, goes into the cellular level, cleansing the memories of all the pain, all the pain. The heart is considered as a little brain due to it having a complex nervous system that is sufficiently sophisticated and independent of the brain. Heart is the oldest, is the first organ to shape and form. The oldest. It orchestrates the manifestation of the rest of it. She has been in charge, and she is in charge. She operates in resonance with an ancient wisdom, the ancient wisdom of I am. I am. Any and all frequencies that come into the wholesome you, they come and go through your heart, through a process of orientation and initiation. I am, we say, as we move to the word love. The word love has been taken for granted and has thrown here and there, disrespectfully, and with no consideration. It's wounded, bleeding, very, very tired. Love cannot go on a limb like that for much longer. Let us prepare a healing environment for love so it prevails again, permeating in the air that you breathe, so you can breathe, live, and behave. For love to manifest, you must start to respect. Then you understand and start to like, in preparation for affinity. So first is respect. Then you start to like. Then you start to build up affinity, and love starts to manifest. Remember, you are the intelligence that runs the physical body. I repeat, you are the intelligence that runs the physical body. Let's warm up the intelligence in preparation for miracles in the making. Treat your body like you are having a Japanese tea ceremony. You are the host. You are the host. You, the intelligence, is the host. It is a fairly simple course of hospitality that includes a thin tea. The host, you. Always considering the guests. With each movement and each gesture, you are considering the guests. This goes as far as the placement of utensils in relationship to your guests, from the point of view of the guests. Special care is taken with the main guest. It's just like a Japanese tea ceremony, and you, the intelligence, are going to see from the point of view of your guests. Maybe for the first time, you, the intelligence, are actually making a decision to see from the point of view of your guests for the very first time. The utensils are your physical hands and your hands of legs. Your special guests are your major organs, like your heart, like your brain. Start by selectively thinking. Think selectively. Think selectively so you're in charge of your thoughts. Think of being at one of your favorite parts of the nature, having one of your favorite freshly brewed teas while sunbathing on an excellent sunny day. The temperature is just perfect for you. And the aroma is so soothing, so calming. The aroma is so soothing and so calming. If you like, only if you like, place your hands on the sides of your head. And as you inhale, bringing the aroma in, it's like you're pulling the aroma inside your head. You can use your hands of light or your physical hands. And as you exhale, pour respect inside your head. Inhale, receive the aroma, and as you exhale, pour graciously respect. Try to see from the point of view of the brain. See from the point of view of the brain. Does the brain convey that it feels respected? Have you begun to have more understanding of the brain? Do you like your brain? Is affinity building up? You know that you are receiving the aroma. As you inhale and as you exhale, you pour respect into the brain. Do you feel love is manifesting? Not yet? Keep at it, you will. Aroma of respect and understanding with a lot of affinity, glazed with love. As the brain receives it, of course, it disseminates, it transmits, it gives love to the corresponding organs. It receives respect, it gives respect. You have affinity and you love your brain. The brain sends signals of affinity and love to the corresponding organs, the ones that keep the memories of the pain, especially the ones that are holding on to the circuits of the pain. Without removing the circuits, the chargers of the physical pain, there can be no refinement. flow of love sometimes is sent from the brain to the corresponding organs. It forms of images, facsimiles. They come to you when you look at you and the physical body from the point of view of the brain. So they come to you, the intelligence, when you look at the brain from the point of view of the brain. Considering brain a wonderful major collective consciousness. And if your physical hands get tired, rest them and use your hands of light on your brain. Listen to the holograms we call the ears. Whisper, whisper, whisper love to your ears. Respect your ears, like your ears. Build up affinity, maybe for the first time, with your ears. Love follows. Look at the hologram we call the eyes. They both are sending signals of respect to the corresponding layers of the organs. Ears and the eyes are holograms of the entire body. If you love what you're hearing and what you're seeing, you're sending loving, healing messages to the corresponding parts of your physical body. Inhale, please, and remember, love heals. Remember, love heals. From your mind's eye, blow into the areas that you're looking at, bringing a breath of freshness, the aroma, carrying the frequencies and the aroma of love source. Think of your tongue. Have respect for your tongue. Move your tongue. Feel your teeth. Have respect for your teeth. Move. Feel the roof of the mouth. Have respect. Like your tongue. Such a pleasurable instrument. All your life, you've tasted so many wonderful things. Have respect. Speak in the language of meaning. Speak in the language of meaning, free from the language of the tongue. Slowly, and you're thinking of your tongue. Move it around and about. Speak to your tongue in the language of the meaning, in the language of meaning. Be free from speaking the tongue. You are going today to trust more than usual to what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you feel, what you touch, with the touch of knowing. Anytime you think of a body part, it's like you're acknowledging to that body part. Anytime you think of a body part, it's like you're acknowledging. It's like saying, hello, I see you, how are you doing? You're paying respect. You're acknowledging. You're taking the first step to bring in love. Respect is the main step. Anytime you pay respect, understanding comes, affinity builds up, and love follows. The kind of understanding builds up that is more than I get it. There is a depth like never before. You experience a depth of understanding like never before. It's a particular feeling. It's like totally a different sensation. In fact, depth is a sensation. Inhale, please. Touch your tongue. Have affinity. Love your tongue. Tongue, remember, is also a wonderful hologram of the entire body. So when the tongue receives love, in the language of meaning, loving signals are sent from the tongue to the corresponding organs. Some of these organs are hosting a huge storage of memories of pain. Remember, love heals. Move the eyeballs again. Keep moving and rotating and rolling the eyeballs. Left and right, up and down, roll them around and about. With an area, with an eye on the area in need of help. The eyes, as you know, are also wonderful holograms of the entire body, just like your tongue. Just like the space from your rotator cuffs to your elbows. Just like the palms of your hands. Can actually see different parts of you with eyes closed. Bring in light so you can see better. Bringing light like miners bringing light into a gold mine. Remember, whatever you think appears in the part that you're thinking of. You, the intelligence, now take a look at your hands, please. The palms of your hands with eyes closed. A wonderful hologram of the entire body. As you're looking at the palms of your hands, It's like you're creating a flow that naturally goes through your projectile of creativity, goes through your third eye, and reaches these wonderful holograms we call the hands. Look at the wrinkles of the hands. Look at the rolled mat. Pay respect to the palms of your hands. Look at them and fill up your hands with love. It's only a handful, but reaches everyone. Have a healing touch, please. Touch. Touch yourself. And won't you reach out and touch someone? I love you. Won't you please share the love again? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
The moderator has left the conference.